What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtime's a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Hey, mister. Good morning, good afternoon, buenas noches. He Said, Ella Dijo listeners. What is up, Eric Winter?
Not too much. Excited. We have another fantastic guest. This is, you're living the dream.
I know.
This is like the Love is Blind festival. So listen, we love the drama that comes with some of the stories on Love is Blind. There is generally one couple each season, though, that makes everyone believe in love.
And this year, that couple was Amy and Johnny. They were the first to be engaged. They communicated well, had a wedding that was smooth sailing. And in the reunion, they both said they were still so happy. I loved watching this couple so much because it was a breath of fresh air in between all the drama of the season.
We're excited to get into it. So please welcome Amy and Johnny. Let's welcome them both to the show.
We are so happy and so excited that you guys are here.
She's a big Love is Blind fan. I mean, huge. Obsessed with the show.
I enjoy it. I have a laugh, guys. I think it's well produced and I like it. I love seeing the journey and every time that I see a Latina, I don't know if Amy, tú eres la segunda, because I know Lydia is Puerto Rican. Are you the second or the third Puerto Rican?
So second Puerto Rican to get married, but all the Latinas in our cast for season 6 were actually Puerto Rican. So,
really?
Yeah, there were 4 of us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, very, very cool. How does it feel, Johnny, to be married to a Boricua?
Trust me, Johnny, I know already. And you're in the early phases of this, so get ready.
So far, it has been relatively smooth sailing.
Oh, Johnny, good for you, man.
I'm also still in the process of trying to learn a little bit of Spanish, and that has been very interesting too, because obviously the first thing you learn are all the bad words you can't. People are kind of talking about you. But it's been good though so far.
Well, can I tell you something? I hope
if you
do.
If you have any questions, Johnny, just go ahead and reach out and I'll fill you in how the journey's going to go. I'm just kidding.
Not about Spanish. We've been together for, like, we just did a podcast before.
19 years
and still, 19 years together, 2 kids later, and still He's not fluent in Spanish. He cannot speak Spanish. It's the craziest thing.
Amy, if you're a better teacher, maybe, and you have more patience with it. She doesn't have a lot of patience with the teaching. So we wish you guys the best with
it. I don't know if I have the patience, but I try.
So whatever.
We might put him on Babbel or something.
That's really funny. Like Babbel, Duolingo, something like that.
Yeah.
But I know that whenever I go to Amy's parents' house, they primarily speak Spanish at their house.
Yeah.
So I walk in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? They say, hola, then it's something else. I don't really know. And I'm just like, I need to learn this whenever I go to their house.
Yeah.
You'll start to pick up more of, at least for me, I'm understanding a lot more. It's much harder to communicate it, but I'm picking up the conversations. You know what I mean? I'm kind of following what's going on.
And I feel like that's like the biggest thing too. Yeah. Is at least being able to understand what's going on whenever you're over their house. So it gets a little bit easier.
As long as you can understand a little bit and you'll be able to dance a little salsa at some point, you're going to be just fine. You'll be just fine.
If I can't dance salsa, at least fake it and just be okay looking like an idiot until I learn how to do it.
You know what? The one thing I'll say is that he is such a fast learner. Even in the pods, one of the first things I taught him, which is funny, I taught him para arriba, para abajo, para centro y para dentro. We were taking a tequila shot. And the funny thing about it was that he pronounced it very well. I was just like, he was not saying para arriba, para abajo. Like, he was actually saying it. Yeah, no, he was not doing that. And that kind of like, that did a little something to me. So, you know, when it comes to speaking Spanish, the little that he knows, he pronounces it very well. So that's
nice. Where are you from, Johnny?
I'm from New Jersey originally.
Okay.
Vamos a hablar, let's talk Love is Blind, okay?
Yes.
Individually for a second. So, Amy, why?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go on a show like that?
That's a great question. So basically, my friends actually reached out to me and told me that they were looking for people in Charlotte. And I, at the moment, had not seen Love is Blind. I didn't really know what the concept was, but they knew my dating history and that it wasn't good. And they knew that I was very marriage minded. I wanted something long term. And so they thought I was perfect for it. So I was like, okay, why not? So I signed up for it. I was told by the interviewers, like, you should watch it. Because I told them, no pun intended, but I want to go into this blindly. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's not the best idea. You should know what you're getting into. And I was like, you know, you're right. So I watched it. I did like the concept because I feel like something I've always wanted and struggled with is that I feel like when I would talk to men, they wouldn't really care to get to know me until they saw me. And, you know, I feel like in our generation, we just prioritize the physical aspect first. And I feel like I always knew that I wanted somebody to fall in love with my soul first. And I felt like this was a perfect experiment that I saw work for a lot of people and that could work for me as well. And so it just kind of fit with everything that I wanted. But then life kept going. I almost didn't partake in the experiment, actually. And he also didn't. But things just kind of opened up very, very last minute. And I was able to partake in it. So I just felt like it was a sign. Yeah.
It sounds like you had a bit more of an intention for sure going in and open to that way of meeting somebody. Johnny, was it similar for you? I mean, was it more of just like, whatever, let's see what happens? Or you were fully into that concept of let me get to know somebody first, regardless of how they look?
So it was a little bit different. So basically with me, I was in like a long-term relationship for basically like right of, like during college and like also for 2 years after college. Then for another like maybe like 3 years, I was just playing like a single game and I was enjoying myself, but I wasn't really finding anything that was like really substantial or just like a worthwhile relationship. So when I found out about Love is Blind, they reached out to me via like LinkedIn and they basically were like, hey, like, do you want to do something like this? And I immediately was like, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? The best thing is I get married. The worst thing is that I have a really cool experience. So basically went through the interview process there and didn't really expect to get married. Because when I did basically go through the interview process, I was like one of the alternates. So I was lucky number 16 in a cast of 15 guys. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna use this experience to see what I can learn about myself, see what I can learn about my relationships I had in the past, and hopefully bring something to the next one I have, because clearly something isn't working out with my like normal dating history. So maybe it's finding a different type of person. Maybe it's having different types of conversations and just really trying to figure out what's going to get me to hopefully find someone who's ready for marriage, because that's like the end of the game, like the best thing.
How many dates did you have inside the pods?
Multiple. So we were there about close to 10 days. So I would say at least 10 dates, but time kind of went by. Yeah. Like, as the days passed, the dates got longer. So our longest date was like 4.5 to 5 hours.
I don't even remember. I was going to say.
That's sick. I don't remember. But it was
like consecutively, like 5 hours speaking?
Yep. Yeah. It's basically, hey, here's like a call like this. You turn like the, you know, the screen off and you're sitting there with no distractions for 6 hours talking and really getting to know each other and just really finding out those like deep conversations about, hey, you know, if this happens, how are we going to deal with this? If for some reason, like something happens to like to either my parents or her parents, how are we going to actually handle something like this? Like, would, you know, Amy consider moving? Would I consider moving? Things like that.
And you never ever discussed anything to do with your physique, like nothing. I'm brunette. I have dark eyes. I'm nothing, zero.
So not really. He knew that I was Latina because I feel like that's something that I can't, like that's part of my identity, but that I didn't say any physical traits. So I think with him, the only thing was he was describing his outfit one day and he said that he had a hair tie. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
he has long hair. I hope it's nice. Yeah.
He was like, does he have a hair longer than I do? So I was like, but I'm going to be open-minded because obviously like I feel a strong connection. So I was like, we're gonna see it through. But
it's fascinating that you both went in with such a true open mind to the process. But at some point, I just have a tough time for myself. Like I put myself in this position all the time, thinking about how I could handle a show like that. At some point, were you nervous that, okay, once you meet each other, you're not going to be attracted to each other? Or did you just think, I know I like this person so much inside that I'm completely blinded by their physical? Or were you concerned?
I think, so I definitely was a little concerned about that because I know going into it, like, I know I'm a good looking guy, but I didn't know kind of what I was going to see on the other end too. And if she was really going to like me for my looks in addition to kind of like my personality. And I remember during the reveal, like when I saw Amy, I just, I couldn't speak, like just words just didn't come out. Cause I was like, so just like, just awestruck. Yeah. So I like we really didn't talk during like that 20 minutes we saw each other. So really? The next time we saw each other was in the DR. And when we were like sitting in the car trying to film, okay, here's where we're going to be like going to the, like walking basically into the hotel we're staying at. And the entire time we're there, it was just like awkward silence. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if she doesn't like me? What if she doesn't think I'm cute? What if it's like that case where like she kind of likes my personality, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And I was freaking out.
And you already
like,
knew you were attracted to her, right? You were like, I scored.
Oh no, we are solid over here. Like she is beautiful. Yeah. And then I was like, but I hope she likes me.
No, I feel like for me, the biggest worry was actually like figuring this out and getting to the point that we got engaged, and that's a huge deal for me. And I didn't really care about the physical aspect. It was more so like, how are we going to get through this and get to the actual wedding day and have it be like a good outcome? So I think that was more so my worry, like the real world and all those aspects, my dad and my family meeting him and like all those things integrating. I feel like that's where I was more wary. But like in the pods, I was just like, I have a strong feeling about this man that I just know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like there was something special there.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So you're like the perfect, experimental piece to this sort of puzzle. Like you're a person that fell in love fully. Or at least, I don't want to speak, put words in your mouth, fell in love, but like really established a relationship, a feeling for this person before seeing them that you truly were, I don't care what he looks like in a way. And then you lucked out. You guys both are attracted to each other, but you built it.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together. And that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me, sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you remember a specific time in Mexico? Because at the beginning it was awkward. You know, he's still debating, oh my God, does she like me? Oh, I'm into this girl so much. I don't know. I'm testing the water. Do you remember a specific moment? Is it inside a pool, at the beach, in the room, that you looked at each other and it clicked?
It's
That's
funny.
That's a good question.
Because I remember, I feel like the first night where we met all the couples before that, we were just chilling behind the scenes, like not seeing, and like we were just having the best time with one another. And I was like, I could see myself with this person for the rest of my life. Okay. And it was just like the littlest thing, but I felt like it said so much about our connection at that moment to me.
Like we were just basically waiting to go to meet everybody. Yeah. And I remember vividly us like just joking around and playing patty cake. Like it was the most random thing ever, but we were like just playing patty cake, like waiting to like basically be called up so we can go on screen. It was just like, I don't know, it was just so like weird, but like so lighthearted and fun and just like, I don't know, just like an enjoyable time.
You know what's interesting as a viewer, because this season was so full of drama, you know, and there's so much stuff going on, and a lot of couples that we knew as the audience since the beginning, that's not going to transpire to anything. You know what I mean? They just have, it's Mexico. They're caught up in the moment. Everybody's sexy. Everybody, you know, it's the beach and they're loving the drinking and the spending time because experiment is, it could be a lot of fun. But as a viewer, at least me, you know, I'm very much in tune with things. I was like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And seeing you guys was such a, like a breath of fresh air. You know, it was just positive and clean and beautiful since the beginning. It was clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and it was like, you know, I'm so happy for them, and I have a feeling that there's one couple that is gonna be successful, which is Amy and Johnny, because it was, you guys did an incredible dance about we're part of the whole thing and we like everybody and we have become friends with everybody, but we don't really participate in the shittiness. Yeah. You know what
we
I mean?
We were very much in our bubble.
Yes.
Even like there were things going on around us that I feel like didn't fully click in with us until we were watching it back.
Yeah. Wow.
Because while filming and like even afterwards, we truly were focused on one another. And, you know, after we got married, you know, focusing on our marriage. So we truly were in our bubble the whole
That's
time.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, good for you. That was very smart.
Well, it sounds like you took smart. It. You guys both in your own right took the process very seriously.
Yeah.
Because I imagine there are a lot of people that go in semi-serious, but also semi just kind of like, whatever happens, let's happen. Let's just go with it. And they're going
Did you experience that? Like people going in for the wrong reasons?
I feel like in the moment we really didn't notice it, but I also noticed that afterwards it was a little more apparent. And you could see people that were there for the wrong reasons that might, you know, shouldn't have probably been there. But I feel like the like casting team over like Kinetic does a pretty good job at kind of like weeding through people and making sure that like their intentions are, you know, actually aligned with like the whole goal of the show.
Yeah.
Were you able to develop like lifelong friends? Is there a couple or a girl? I mean, for you that you said, this is my girl. I really like her.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, most of the girls are incredible. For me, I got closer to Chelsea and AD throughout the process, but like, I love Laura. I love Brittany, Jess, like, all the girls are truly phenomenal and I feel like we have bonded. But yeah, throughout the process, like those are my girls. So I'm very grateful for the friendship.
And so where, because I'm just going to dive into a little bit of what can be real for a lot of people in relationships. Where are you guys now? You're married, right? Kids, I know, was a conversation that was maybe we want them, but we're not ready.
we're going to push that off for a couple of years.
I'm with you. I think that's smart. You both are young, but you guys are both. Was that ever, were you guys on the same page with that the whole time that we want kids, both of you, just not right now? Or was that a little bit of a back and forth discussion?
Yeah, we were on the same timeline of when we wanted kids. It was just like the birth control of it all and preventing that from happening at an already expedited process to getting married. We didn't want to expedite kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of where we were on polar opposite ends, but we kind of just met in the middle afterwards and, you know, figured it out. But we would ideally want kids like maybe 3 to 4 years. So like in our early 30s at some point. But right now we just really want to enjoy our marriage. We moved in together about half a year ago. So that's been really good. We've been traveling, seeing his family that are across the country. And then we went to France with my family as well. And that was amazing. So really just enjoying our marriage.
Mm-hmm. How old are you both?
We are 28.
Both of you? 28.
Yeah.
Before this, now that you're married, what was the longest relationship either of you had had?
Mine was like 3.5 years.
That's a good chunk.
Four.
And mine was about
4. And neither of you had ever gone down the road with anybody of engagement or like super, it was just a long relationship, but you didn't see necessarily the future with those people.
I feel like both of us kind of with our previous long-term relationships, we both had in common that they were when we were in our early 20s, when we were still in college. And so I'm sure it was a thought in the back of like their head. And like, also like it was a thought in the back of our head, but like, it was just like, you know, you're young and you're in love. So you like think of all this stuff, but like, it's not the most rational thinking. Yeah, yeah. And so, I feel like it was a thought, but it wasn't like, it didn't get to that serious point. Cause we broke up when we were in our early 20s.
Yeah. So. No, I ask it because like you guys said, you made a point. You guys have an expedited marriage, right? Your relationship was expedited. Everything is, when you see a lot of these shows about dating and relationship, everything goes supernatural speed, right? It's not normal, the process. And you guys are now in it. And it sounds like you're making, very mature decisions at this point, which is why I wondered, like, if you guys had had long previous relationships or you'd been down that path, because that's part of the dating sort of development, right? Of getting where you need to be mentally to jump into a marriage. And now, like you said, we want kids, but not yet. You're still both so young, plenty of time to figure all that out. Now you got to just continue to build and focus on the relationship because it is still really new.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I also feel like the reason why we had such kind of like in-depth conversations was just because we had such a good number of like resources to reach out to of people who were married that we valued like what they had in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like my parents, her parents, my sister and my brother-in-law, some of her best friends, some of my best friends, like they're all married. They've all been together for like a very long time. And they were able to basically help us out by basically saying like, hey, have you had these conversations yet? Have you guys been down this road before? Like, have you had these discussions yet? And it really kind of helped guide us like through the conversations that we needed to have and make sure that we were both open with each other about what we wanted, what we ideally wanted in the future and, you know, how ultimately to get there.
Yep.
Any hesitation within the families? Because I know what we saw on camera was very supportive. You know, your dad at the beginning was a little hesitant. You know, your daddy's girl. Eres la luz de sus ojos. Like, I can completely, like, if I tell my dad, I'm just going to go on a dating show and I'm going to meet somebody and I'm going to marry him in 7 days, my dad would have been over my dead body. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the fact that you had a mom and a dad that respected your decision, mm-hmm. met him with open arms, a little bit hesitant, which is normal, but at the end I thought they were so graceful, you know, and so happy to see you happy. Do you think that was there any drama at all that we didn't see, or was it always we're gonna let you do you and we believe that you're making the right choice?
Yeah, so I feel like the hesitance was more so before the experiment itself. And even in the pods, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go because, you know, I didn't have communication with my parents while we were in the experiment. So I'm just like, you know, once we get to the part where I'm engaged, I'm like, holy shit, I'm engaged and my family doesn't know. Like, I don't know how they're going to react. And it's at that point when I get back to Charlotte, it's been 3 weeks.
But they knew she's going to Love is Blind. We're going to watch Love is Blind. So they knew what was happening.
They knew what, they knew the intention of the show and like what could happen. And I told them, hey, if I'm gone an extra week, it's because I found somebody. So that fact they kind of already had known. But I feel like I talked to them about Johnny and how amazing he was. And I feel like my dad really came around once he met Johnny. And my dad, he reads people extremely well. Mm-hmm. So if my dad, for some reason, didn't approve or didn't give the blessing, it would have most likely had been because he saw something that I probably wasn't seeing. And at the end of the day, like, he would still allow me to be myself and make my decision, but he would tell me straight up, like, this is not it.
Yeah.
But when he met Johnny, it was just like, he absolutely adored him and he respected him. And he knows the trials and tribulations I have faced in the past and that Johnny is truly like the best that has ever come into my life. And he was just like, it's a no-brainer. Even though it was a very short time of meeting, it just made sense. And I feel like it was the same thing with meeting his family. You know, everything just clicked. And so even at the wedding, when everybody meets, even my own grandma who lives with my dad, who was also very hesitant about the process too, she mentioned, I feel like I have known his family for lifetimes.
Wow.
And it was very interesting because it's like, I never expected it to go as smoothly as it did. Because something about my parents is that they will say what they think and they won't care. And I love that for them. But you know, the fact that they just handled it with so much grace and respect for me and my decision and support overall meant the whole world to me. So there really wasn't a lot of hesitancy after, you know, meeting Johnny. It was more so before the experiment overall.
What about you, Johnny? Same?
So I really feel like the biggest thing was about the experiment itself. Just kind of like Amy was saying, it's such a fast process. So my parents found out about it. I think I was more nervous for them to find out about it than they actually were about the whole experiment itself. So what happened was we talked, I don't know, way more information you guys probably need to know, but They live in Maine. I had to go to Maine anyway, right before before the show started filming, because my little sister graduated from PA school. So I went up there. We talked like that whole night from like when I ended up driving there, which was, I think I got there like 10 o'clock at night, to like 3 or 4 a.m. and just talked about everything. Like, why exactly do you want to go on the show? Like, what are your intentions? Like, what do you want to get out of this? Like, how do you want to portray yourself? Yada, 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 like those types of things. And I just basically opened up to them. I was like, I want to do this for myself. Like, at the end of the day, like, I probably don't see myself getting married. I see myself learning a lot more about myself as an individual, and then hopefully taking to like another relationship. And they're like, you know what? I'm fully supportive of that. They find someone. I really hope it's like the right one. And I hope it works out very well, but we're behind you fully. So they ended up supporting it. And then my sisters, whenever they actually met Amy, they were just immediately in love with her. Like, they were like, you were the best person ever. You fit your family so well. Like, it was just like how you saw. And I don't know if it's just because of like my relationship with my family or like Amy's relationship with like her mom and her dad, but I feel like we just, as individuals, were people that our families respected. And because of that, they really just trust who we chose as far as life partner goes.
Yeah.
It feels like lightning in a bottle. I just wonder if that's the, I wonder how normal this is on a show like this to be this seamless.
I don't think it's normal.
No, I don't think so. Normal. I don't think on The Bachelor, I don't think on any of these shows, like dating shows.
No.
It's almost like perfect. Yeah. Like your journeys were meant to be in this, you know, this path to collide, and this was going to work out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I feel like, and I always say this, I feel like it was very much destiny. Like our love was written in the stars, because there were so many reasons why we almost didn't partake in this. Him being an alternate, I had trips planned out. One trip was right before we were supposed to start filming, and that canceled the day before we were supposed to fly out because of my parents' passports. And I was completely distraught. And that's when I had just found out that I was chosen as a finalist. And I basically called my manager and I cried to her. And I was like, I just hope you know that I'm working next week, unfortunately, but this also happened. And I don't know if like I'm going to be able to do it, because like the time frame is so short. And I also had a trip in April. And like, long story short, there were like complex things that were in the way for me to be able to even partake in this. And it just seamlessly moved out of the way. And I feel like for him being an alternate, and like he also had to do different things that were kind of in the way that could have prevented him from participating. But like the universe just really like moved so that we could meet. I don't know why we met through Love is Blind, but I'm very grateful that, you know, the show and experiment exists overall, because it seems like we were clearly meant to meet this way. So,
and I
good.
Yeah. All right, I was gonna say, I still remember like during the pods, and then like after we met, after we saw each other in the DR, I basically said to her, I was like, I'm still waiting for our first fight, because it just seems too easy. Like, it seems like it's too straightforward. This can't be real type of thing. Like, I'm just waiting for, you know, something to just come crashing down and like bring us back to reality, but nothing ever did.
Yeah.
And it's the wildest experience. I just was, it was kind of that nice. And like, good things do happen. Like, it,
you guys are making me a believer in this process, because I'm telling you, I've forever, with all of these dating shows that are out there, I've always been like, nah, there's no way. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, for every one of them.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's The Bachelor. I don't care what it is. I'm like, I mean, sure, the camera, they're cutting around. It can't be that happy. You guys are like the perfect example. They should sell every dating show off of you guys. It is really possible.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me, sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any cultural differences?
Not really. I feel like with Johnny and his family, they're so, I feel like for us Latinos, we're so family oriented, but his family is so family oriented too, that it's a perfect blend. And he is so open-minded to trying new things, learning new things. And that was something that was very important to me. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, something we communicated to each other in the pods. And I like wanted to make sure like, that he was that type of person that was very open-minded. And so I feel like there hasn't really been any like significant cultural differences.
I just remember that one of the things I was quote unquote open-minded about was trying coquito.
The best.
Cannot stand coconut.
I absolutely hate coconut.
So you didn't like coquito?
I did not like coconut. Was a very, very, very tough for me.
I don't think you understand. My heart broke.
I know. I just see your face. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yes.
But did you try it?
Yeah, you just didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
No. I'm not going to not try it. Like, I'm not going to try
it. Can do a pistachio
coquito, guava coquito. You can do other flavors.
You didn't tell me this.
Yeah.
The first fight. We caused it.
There's other options. My mom makes coquito, and like we would, you know, distribute it to friends and family, and like people love my mom's coquito so much. So I'm just like, there's no way that you will not love my mom's coquito. But she only does like the traditional form.
Of course.
How much Puerto Rican food have you gotten into?
What about mofongo?
Not yet.
Tostone da pana.
I've heard so much about mofongo. So much about
the best.
Mofongo is fantastic, but wait till you have tostones da pana. When you have that, oh my God.
No, I haven't had that.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to get you to Puerto Rico.
I haven't gotten too into the kitchen to like do all these traditional dishes. I just do like the basic, you know, arroz con habichuela, like just any type of pollo guisado. So he does that. But when it comes to doing like mofongo, like I'm not going to, I haven't had the time to do all that. But he has tried like my grandma's pasteles.
Rico.
He's tried arroz con gandules, pernil. Like he's tried like those kinds, but mofongo.
You know what you have to do? There's like a kid called Borilicious. Borilicious. Bori, like Boricua, Borilicious. Follow him on Instagram. He's a young kid that cooks, right? And he teaches you how to do Puerto Rican stuff. Very simple. Everything is delicious and it will be a great introduction for him. And the kid is funny.
Yeah, I know.
So you can show Johnny the videos and the food is
or just
unbelievable.
Go to Puerto Rico. And
or just go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So that's another thing we're trying to do. So we, first off, we love cooking together. So like that's one of the big things we like always bond over is cooking.
Okay.
But we are trying to plan a trip to Puerto Rico pretty soon. We think it's going to be like the May, June-ish time frame,
good.
Maybe July.
Hot,
time frame,
but good. Like
so I'm very excited. It's my first time there. And Amy's like, we got to see the rainforest. We got to see San Juan.
San Juan?
Yes.
Oh,
San Juan.
I got thumbs down on something.
No. We want thumbs up, San Juan.
I haven't heard.
But no, we're going to be going all over the place. Amy has planned this like jam-packed, basically like itinerary full of Puerto Rico. So I got to actually see and experience for myself. And
we're gonna
add one thing to your
itinerary.
You're
gonna love it.
And Rosalind can send this over. You guys can get it, but you've got to go. We were just introduced to this. And I mean, I've been there a gazillion times now, right? In these 20 years, never have experienced anything like this guy called Captain Pelican in Aguadilla. And you just have to make this drive, right? You have to go on this little boat. It's called, what are they called?
I'm trying to write this down right now.
Es como una yola. Es una
the little Spanish
yola.
Boats when Spain came
es una
over.
Yola, un barquito de madera.
But they call it something.
Okay.
Una yola.
I what they call it. It's a little, he takes you on this little boat all through Aguadilla and he like literally goes, Mommy, ven acá. And all these freaking pelicans start landing in your boat and they're in with you. You're swimming with
We're
all these
fish.
We're talking
about 50 jumping pelicans.
Jumping off of rocks.
Oh
it is the most beautiful, exquisite experience
amazing.
Ever. I just did it on our last trip, which was when was I there last? Last summer, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The last trip. And I mean, again, I've been there countless times. This is one of the most memorable things we've ever done there. She was blown away.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I might have to do
you have to send him his info.
And then also do, instead of just going to the rainforest, which is beautiful, go to the Yunque, it's beautiful. But there's a tour, I believe it's called La Campa PR. I can send you all this info, Amy.
That's like a real
adventure.
And
they
like
pick you up
adventure.
In the morning at 6 a.m. They bring you back like at 6 o'clock at night, but they take you in Camuy and you experience the rainforest, but in a way that you have never experienced it before.
Like ziplining through it, inner tubing
it's
on caves
unbelievable.
With bats everywhere.
And you feel like
rivers.
You feel like it's Jurassic Park. I was like, where am I? Am I even in Puerto Rico? It was incredible.
Oh, that's yeah. No, I want to take them to Las Cuevas de Camuy over there, but...
No. Las cuevas son bellísimas, pero no, tienes que hacer a Campa PR because it will take you to some caves.
It'll be like a little bit of everything.
Everything.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of a different adventure.
Everything, yes.
You can go to Camuy and you can walk around, but this is like going on an adventure. Like if you're cool that's with me. Like hiking and getting dirt, you know, going, walking through water and stuff like that, you'll be into that.
What is next? So what's next for you guys career wise? Right, I know you guys were both business people and you have your jobs, but now that you had this platform that people love you, that I'm assuming you're gonna get a lot of opportunities. What's next?
That's a good question. I feel like that's really up in the air. I feel like we're very much open to the opportunities and the possibilities, but we both have worked incredibly hard for education, and you know, we've worked hard for our career. So I don't know, like it's one of those things that if it's something that we can juggle both, that we will. And if not, if there's something better, bigger and better, then we'll be open to it. But it just really depends. We're always the type of people that are open to the unknown.
Yeah. And I know just growing up too, my mom always worked in like the nonprofit space.
Yeah.
And I feel like this kind of gives us the opportunity to really kind of give back in like that kind of sense.
Oh yeah.
And just do more like volunteering, more like actually working like in nonprofits. So just trying to find the right one, I feel like it's going to be like a big, I don't know, just like thing for us to do and really look forward to. But we definitely want to, because of this platform, be able to promote different things, be able to help out however we can around the community.
Yeah.
and just make sure that we're actually building something that's more like longer term than just like having us be like a quick like 15 minutes of fame and then boom. Like, we want to make sure it's going to be like more of like a long lasting thing to actually help out multiple people.
Yeah. And I feel like something that's very important to myself and us is my identity. And I've always been involved in any like Hispanic organization since I was a kid. And so that's something I look forward to continue doing is being involved within the community in Charlotte in terms of that, as well as, you know, advocating for kids and adults that have mental disabilities, because my brother is on the spectrum. So like getting educated and advocating others is like a huge goal of mine as well and ours.
Beautiful.
So. That's awesome.
Thank you so much, guys. This was so beautiful. And we wish you nothing but blessings and prosperity and health and a life of just yumminess and incredible experiences.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Keep living the dream. It sounds like it's all going the right way.
Thank you.
It's been really fun. But
awesome.
Thank you guys so much
for
having us. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Un abrazo. Cuídate.
Igual.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was lovely. So nice. I'm not joking when I say I think they're the lightning in the bottle couple. Like, I wonder how many. I mean, I remember the very first bachelor or bachelorette with.
They're still together.
Yeah. They're still married, kids and all that stuff. But I mean, like, they were like that. Anomaly in the dating world space, you know, when it comes to these reality shows, they feel like the same, these two. Like really good heads on their shoulders, doing everything sort of the right way and on their terms. I'm really excited for them. This makes me a believer in the process, which I never thought I would be.
Yeah. If everything fails, you can always go to Love is Blind.
Wow.
And then change your name.
You want me to go on Love is Blind now?
No, I don't. I'm just saying
if you're already saying that everything fails for us, how did that track? I just said something so lovely.
You did. Can you imagine if we go on Love is Blind and we change our names and you could change the voice? They'll recognize.
And we led back to each other?
That'd be awesome. Can you imagine? I'm like, he reminds me of somebody.
Ay, ay, ay. <yeah. laughs>
So
here we go. Let me tell you. Oh, wait. Did your stomach hurt? Oh, it's Roz. It's Roz. All right. Till next time. Love you.
Oh, my God. Love you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo or send us an email, ericandroz@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.